C6. Number 23B.
Says, which one of the two is real and which one is the counterfeit? Therefore, her logic introduces a third factor, a third value, namely understanding. Because it is understanding that decides which one of the two is a fact and which one of the two is a counterfeit. Therefore, in each reasoning, you have three values. Yes? You have a presentation, here is a situation, and this is the opposite. Now, which one of the two is real? What is that value which decides on this? And you have to introduce understanding. I will see this afternoon when I speak to you about cybernetic logic, that in cybernetic logic, they reason exactly the same way. That's why cybernetic logic has so much similarity with Mrs. Eddy's logic. So here we come to that third value that is now important. But you also can see something else, that actually at the same time that we have the three values, understanding one value as the dominant one, then fact and counterfeit, that actually the moment that understanding has made the decision, once it has made the decision, that only one is a reality and the other no value, it resolves those two conceptual dualisms and makes it one value. Yeah? So, the three valued logic is actually therefore only a transitional logic which is necessary to the point where the third value, understanding, has decided which one of the two is the real value, and once that has been the only value and the other no value, at that moment we only have one value. And so once the decision has been made, the three-valued logic transforms itself into a one-valued logic. And you can see that the three-valued logic is that logic which gives us the interdependence of absolute Christian Science with Christian Science, because the absolute value of understanding will decide on the level of absolute Christian Science, will define on the level of Christian Science what is right and what is wrong. Once it has made that decision, Christian Science is lifted up to the level of absolute Christian Science, and there you only reason in one value, the value of understanding. Isn't that simple? Yeah. See, I told you it's simple. You just have to have patience for a day. You know, that's all. One begins to see, actually see, that only understanding as a value is relevant, because it's a value and actually takes the place of concepts. So understanding takes the place of concepts. Concepts become irrelevant. And we see that Mrs. Eddy says understanding is a quality of God, but concepts are a quality of the human dualistic thinking we have seen. Concepts, dualistic concepts, are man-made. Understanding is God-made. And so the divine understanding begins to resolve the man-made logic. Yeah, it's terrific. All right, so we can finish up that really by seeing that through understanding, you see, the dual conceptional logic becomes really a one-valued logic. So we have somehow a way to go. Jesus always said, I am the way. Follow you in it. He could see there is a way, and that's one thing. And the aim is another thing. So when we are talking about the way here in logic, we can see what the way is. It's starting out really with the two-valued logic, seeing that the two-valued logic is actually a two-conceptional logic. So we transform the two-valued logic into a two-conceptional logic. Then afterwards introduce the new value, the third value, understanding, and make out of the two-valued logic a three-valued logic, which finally, when it has resolved the two-conceptional logic, becomes a one-valued logic. I will tell that about 10 times again today. Yes. Well, so that we know at least that we should not minimize the two-valued logic, the classical logic, but just give it the right value, the right place. I come to another point after I have explained in point 4, I have explained the two-valued logic in Christian Science. I give you as point 5, actually, it is the same thing as in point 4, but I made a special point out of it, the duality of Jesus. Point 5, the duality of Jesus. I read you here a passage from Science and Health, that is from page 334, in case you once want to read it again at home. And that paragraph has a marginal heading called The Son's Duality. The Son's Duality. Can you see again why we came to the whole question of logic in Christian Science? That in one way you could read, like here, the duality of Jesus, and fundamentally we knew that there is the oneness of being, and so thought must say, now what is what? Do we have to do with a dualistic sense of being, or do we have to do with a monistic sense of being? How do these two things go together so that they don't contradict each other? And so let's now read that paragraph with what we know up to this point. And you will feel that this paragraph makes now sense, logical sense, not just a sense we have read it and we have said, yes, Mrs. Eddy knows it, and so it is, yes. We read it in a descriptive way, I would say. And now we can read it in its logic. Now she says here, I read it to you very slowly and make my remarks in between. I say, the invisible Christ was imperceptible to the so-called personal senses, whereas Jesus appeared as a bodily existence. Here you have the Son's duality. Looked at it one way, you have him as the invisible Christ, imperceptible. Looked at another way, you have him as a bodily existence. Here is a duality of invisible and visible. This dual personality, this dualism, one visible, one invisible. This dual personality of the unseen, one way, and the seen, that's the opposite. Again, you have two values. The spiritual and the material, again, you have two values. The eternal Christ and the corporeal Jesus made manifest in the flesh, again, your dual concept. Continued, that dualistic logic continues. It's a dual conceptual logic that continues. Until when? Until the Master's ascension. So that, she says, the two conceptual logic comes to an end at a certain point. Well, naturally, this goes against, you know, the classical logic, because in the classical logic you had as the principle of identity there that A is identical to A. That it doesn't change into not A. You see? But here you have a two-valued logic that does no more agree with the principle of identity. No more agree with the law of non-contradiction, because it begins to contradict itself. It says that two-valued logic continued until to one point, and then it dissolved itself. Namely, to the Master's ascension. What does that mean? When the human material concept of Jesus, only the concept. Can you see now the two-valued logic is translated into a conceptual logic? It's now the concept, a material concept, or Jesus disappeared. It became nothing. One value became nothing. While the spiritual self, or Christ, that's the other value, continues to exist in the eternal order of divine science. Continues to exist. One disappears, the other becomes eternal. One concept disappears, then what is left over is just one value. And so the duality of Jesus is resolved. Jesus, the human concept, disappears, and to the divine concept is given eternal value, and goes on eternally as a value, taking away, that's interesting, taking away the sins of the world, as the Christ has always done, even before the human Jesus was incarnate to mortal eyes. Can you see you have an ascending logic and a descending logic? First you have the ascending logic until the Master's ascension, when Jesus disappeared and the Christ had eternal value. And now you have the descending logic again, still taking away, you see, descending again, still taking away, as the Christ has always done, the sins of the world, the wrong concepts of the world. So you can see you can use your three-valued logic in two ways. Namely, first the two conceptual logic to the point of seeing just one value, understanding. You could stay there, but you can also, as we know, look down the descending way and see that this understanding will always take away the dual conceptual logic. Always. And this way, Mrs. Eddy, all she points that out in many ways. She says that Jesus was the highest human concept of the perfect man. It was only conceptual, not a reality. You see, Jesus was not the highest man. He was not the perfect man. If Jesus would be the perfect man, you would have the classical two-valued logic that the body is eternally spirit, perfect. But the moment she resolved the two-valued logic into a two-conceptional logic, she can say, yes, Jesus in the flesh, that can be seen, that can be touched, that was eating and drinking and sleeping and talking, that Jesus is not Jesus, is not the value. The value about it is only a concept. You see, that she always transformed first that which the old classical logic would call the counterfact into a counterfeit or into a concept, and would compare the concept with the true value. She compared the concept Jesus with the true value, the perfect man. She says Jesus was inseparable from Christ. Compare this with the paragraph we have been reading. It's absolutely contradictory. She said in the first paragraph we read, she said that Jesus was absolutely something different than the Christ. The Christ is invisible and Jesus was visible. Can you see? And now she contradicts herself apparently and says Jesus was inseparable from Christ, comma, dash, the divine idea outside the flesh. Translates it into idea, into a divine concept. And in that way resolves again the duality of the personality of Jesus. So with the example of Jesus, many times in her writing, she explains on a good example really how she resolves that dualism into a monism. All right. We go on. Point 6. My caption here is the two valued and the one valued thinking. In order to understand Mrs. Eddy's textbook, one has to see through the apparent contradiction that she has in regard to the phenomena of thinking. Most of the times in her textbook, thinking for her is dualistic, is negative, because it comes from the brain, it's man-made. But on a few occasions, she speaks about God's thoughts. She speaks about thinking in a one-valued way. Again, you have this paradox that she thinks that thinking is dualistic, and suddenly that thinking is monistic. And somehow we have to know what is what. All right. Let's see how we can resolve that question. We know that human thinking in general is two-valued. And because all is mental, we can see how important it is to see through the question of the two-valued way of thinking. On the other hand, Mrs. Eddy says there is not two valued mind. There is a one mind that is just one value, mind that cannot think in dualistic way, mind that only knows ideas, not illusions, not its counterfeit. It is not even too conceptual. Mind is just one valued. And so we see we must resolve somehow this difficulty. So from mind we know only come ideas. We know that therefore ideas are beyond the question of good and evil, that we have not good ideas and evil ideas, that ideas are actually one valued. So when we talk about idea, we do not have to classify them as good or evil. They are per se just one valued, and one doesn't have to defend that. And so mind creates through ideas what? Creates divine concepts, she says. So concepts are actually a translation from the one mind, first to the point of ideas, and only when we have ideas we can evaluate them in concepts. Are they in, and see that ideas, when translated to human thinking, become divine concepts. Not just concepts. They become divine concepts. And so we see in the writings of Mrs. Eddy quite a lot of ways how she will explain that from God, mind, or spirit comes the mental concept. The mental concept, when it comes from spirit, is always through ideas. So Mrs. Eddy says that spirit gives the true mental idea. You know, not spiritual idea. You can see at once that she is translating here idea further down. That she doesn't just say that from spirit comes the true idea. She could say that. But then if she would say that, she would say to the reader, I stay on the level of absolute Christian science. There we only have to do with principle bringing forth ideas. But the moment she translates it from absolute Christian science to Christian science down, she must translate it down to thinking, because Christian science has to do with resolving wrong thinking into right thinking. And so when it comes down, the idea is translated into concept, but what kind of concept? Only divine concept. It can never be translated to a human concept, because the divine can never lose its nature and become dualistic. When we see that, then we see that human thinking at that point, and only at that point, is divine. Therefore, human thinking is not just per se, always dualistic. One has to see if is human thinking the outcome of thinking, or is human thinking the outcome of mind, translating itself to the point of idea, and idea translating itself to the human in the form of divine concepts, vice human concepts. Therefore, it is true that we can speak about God's thoughts. What does it mean? It does not mean that God has thoughts. God's thoughts are not God's thoughts. God's thoughts are God translating himself to the point of idea, idea translating itself to the point of thoughts that come to man, to us, to our thoughts, but their quality at that point is divine thoughts, God thoughts. Is that clear? So in the ascending way, starting from thinking, thinking is always dualistic. On the descending way, thinking is always monistic, one-valued. And that we have to see.